Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This week and next, I want to share with you some spring cleaning ideas. I am here in Ohio in March, and right out my window right now, I could see snowflakes falling. So it's not like I'm out of the dead of winter. But what happens is sometime in February, March, April, you get a couple of those nice, you know, high 60 degree days. And all of a sudden, it's like you get this infusion of energy and you want to just deep clean your entire house from top to bottom. Maybe you don't, but I do. And I find that during this time, there are a whole bunch of household related tasks that I do not normally do. And I have a lot more energy to do these kind of tasks. But some of them are very important tasks, like changing the batteries in your smoke detector. And I actually just read on a blog the other day that you're supposed to actually buy new smoke detectors like every 3 to 9 years. So I think I'll be doing that this year since it's been about 15 since I did that. And what I find is if I don't have a deadline or somebody telling me, hey, go change the smoke detector batteries, it feels like I just did that yesterday, even though I haven't done that for probably a year. And so for me, it is easier to assign a couple of these arbitrary tasks that only get done once or twice a year to the time change so that I can knock all those out the week that we change the clocks and not forget to do some of these big maintenance tasks. So I'm going to go through a list of 12 tasks that I do every spring when we change our clocks. And then in the fall, I will go over what those tasks are in the fall because a couple of them change, but most of them stay the same. All right, so 12 cleaning chores to do every year at daylight savings time. Number one, change the clocks. I mean, I know it's obvious, but do you know how many clocks you have? Like there's the clock in the car and your watch. Luckily, most of the phones today just change their time on their own. So that's how when you wake up and notice that the phone has a different time on it, the phone is correct. Everything else in your house is wrong. But you have microwaves, VCRs. If you have a timer on your coffee machine, the thermostat setting, if that's automatic to time, all of these different clocks need to be changed so that everything is fine going forward on Monday. Number two is to change the fire alarm. Like I already mentioned, the batteries in your fire alarm, or actually change out the whole fire alarm system, and also your carbon monoxide detector batteries if that's not plugged into the wall. Number three is to change the direction of your ceiling fans. So I never understood how this works, but if you have the ceiling fan blowing one way in the summer, then you feel the fan on you. And then in the winter, if you reverse that ceiling fan, it actually pushes the warm air down into the, I don't know how it works. You're just supposed to do it. Change your ceiling fans. I am not an engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but now that we've done this, it really does lower your heating and air conditioning bills. The next one, which I love to do in the spring and in the fall, is to go through your medicine cabinet. This is the perfect time. We are at the end of cold and flu season. So if there were some prescriptions that you kept in there from the fall, that you're thinking, well, it's borderline on the expiration date, but we'll just keep it in case we need it this cold and flu season. It's a good time to get rid of that now. And then also, your family may have been hit with a lot of colds and illnesses this winter, and now is a good time to stock up and make sure that you always have on hand, especially what you want when you get sick, because it's harder for you to go get what you want when you're sick. You will always go get what your spouse and your kids need when they're sick. Next would be to sharpen your lawnmower blade. So we bought a riding lawnmower a couple of years ago. It just occurred to me that is going to be much harder to do now that it's not a push lawnmower and you could just carry the blade into the place where they sharpen the blade. But that is a great thing to do here in the spring. And then this one, we've lived in our house 20 years, is something that we have started to definitely do twice a year and makes a big difference, which is to run water in any unused plumbing areas in your house. So our basement is finished. There's a bathtub down there, a toilet, a kitchen sink. Like it has like a little suite, like if somebody were to live with us, parents or something. And we never use those faucets downstairs, the sink in the bathroom, or they have like a little kitchenette. And so what happens is if you do not run water in any of those or go down and flush the toilet twice a year, then the trap underneath, I had all of this explained to me by a plumber. That's why I know this information. The trap underneath dries out. So even though you see water in the toilet bowl or then there should always be water in that little tube that's underneath that pipe that's underneath your sink that always has some water in it. And what that does is it prevents the sewer smell from coming back into those pipes and up through the pipes and into your basement. So if your basement smells horrible or you're wondering why it smells like something's backed up somewhere, hopefully it's not backed up somewhere and you just need to run water in any of the unused pipes in your house. So every 6 months when we change the clocks, I go down, I flush the toilet a couple of times, I run both sinks, and then I run the shower for, I don't know, with hot water for like 5 minutes, and that's usually good enough. And then there's also this pipe in our unfinished portion of our house near where our heater and air conditioner is. I don't know if it's the same place in everybody's house, but there's this like pipe that's open in the cement in our ground. And if you look down in there, there's water in there. And sometimes that can get low also. So when I'm doing these other things, I'll usually go and just take a bucket full of hot water and pour it down there. And that will also keep the water level high enough and pour more water in through the sewer system. So that's as much detailed information as I have. If you have more and can make that clearer and help me to make it clear to other people, that'd be great. But if you have a really yucky smell, go run some water before you hire a plumber. Okay, the next thing is to clean your oven. So we have a oven that has a little top oven and a bigger regular oven. So I actually have two ovens in one oven. And so you can't clean those at the same time. You have to clean one and then the other. So I think I already mentioned this on a podcast that I didn't know that the ovens clean themselves, but almost all the ovens today clean themselves, which is great. You just shut it and lock it, and then you push the clean button. And it takes like 2 or 3 hours. It gets super hot and it just totally cleans itself. And then you go back. I usually wait till the next day and I get a wet paper towel and then I wipe out the bottom where any of the ashes have gotten from it being cleaned. And then I have a perfectly clean oven. Next is to clean the coffee maker. So I use my Keurig coffee maker every day and I try to remember to clean it out, but I'm not really consistent about that and I don't keep track of it. I like to clean it 4 times a year. So usually I do it at the time change and then also like in the middle of the summer and at Christmas are the times when I typically clean it out. And it's so funny because when I was making my coffee this morning, I was thinking, oh, I think it's time to clean the coffee maker. So as I'm recording the podcast, I'm right. It's time to clean the coffee maker. So how I do this is I go ahead and I fill up the water reservoir thing halfway, and then I pour about 2 cups of vinegar into that reservoir. So it's about 50% vinegar, 50% water. And then I run that water all the way through the machine as many times as I can until the machine runs out of water. And then I pour that out and fill it up with hot water, and I run it through until it runs out of water again, just with plain water, and then my Keurig is clean. The next one would be to sweep out your garage. So clear all the salt and grime out of your garage, bring the kids' bikes down off of the walls, you know, so that they can be riding their bikes. When we get a nice warm day, this is usually what I do. I back my car out of the garage, I sweep the garage out, get the kids' bikes down. Next is to drain a few gallons of water from your hot water heater. So this is one that I know I should do, but I'm too afraid to do it. So I put it on the list because I know you're supposed to do it. And every year I tell myself to do it, but I'm too afraid to do it. I don't know what my problem is. So any of you people who are local and are not too afraid to do this, let me know that you'll come over and tell me how to do it. So anyway, what you're supposed to do, but I'm too afraid to do, is to put a bucket underneath your hot water heater and then open that valve, and it will drain out like just the very bottom part of the water and the sludge that's in there so that it won't continue to eat away at your water heater and then ultimately break. Next on the list is to replace your car wiper blades. So Greg just did this last weekend. It was so awesome. He's like, I'm buying wiper blades today. I was like, okay, this is a new thing. So he came home from the store with all the wiper blades we needed for both cars, changed them all, and filled all the windshield wiper fluid in both of our cars, which is great. Because in the spring, like in that February, March time, is when my car looks the worst. It's when I use car washes the most. I just cannot stand. I don't mind snow. I don't mind that at all. But I don't like the rain. And, you know, when it rains just a little bit and then all that water spurts onto your car and it's all this dingy, yucky. I hate it. I hate that. So filling up our windshield wiper fluid and having fresh windshield wiper blades really helps me see when I'm driving all those hours that I'm driving. The next one, and this usually takes me a couple of weeks to do, but it's definitely something that I do every spring, not always every fall, but every spring, is to wipe down all of your blinds and clean your windows. So I'll be honest, I usually try to hire somebody to clean the windows because I just don't do as good of a job. And I usually do that at like every 2 years is when we get our windows done. It'd be great if we did it twice a year. And when we can afford it, I will have it done twice a year. But I always go through, we have wooden slat blinds, and I just take a wet washcloth and I usually talk on the phone or listen to a podcast and just start wiping down all the blinds. And it takes me about, I think, 10 minutes per blind. And we have a lot of blinds in this house. Let me add them up real quick. Yeah, about 20 blinds. So it's going to take a while to do it. But if I just do, you know, a couple of rooms each day, that's about 30 or 40 minutes. And I can usually get through that task in about a month. And then the last one is to clean out your fireplace. And if you haven't had your chimney checked in a while, get your chimney checked, close your flue, open your flue, whichever time of year it is. So now the time would be to close the flue. I'll just be honest, we never close the flue because when I had this party before we had kids and I had all these people over for a Christmas party, Greg was so nice to start a fire for us in the fireplace and then leave so we could have our little girl party. But the flue was not open. So then all the smoke started coming in the house. And I am like terrified of the house burning down. Like fire and drowning are my two biggest fears. And so we just leave our flue open all the time. Like our flue doesn't close. But I'm pretty sure there's a reason why you should close your flue. But we do clean it out. So sometime in March, we'll have the last fire, and then we'll totally clean out all those ashes. And I actually use my vacuum cleaner to vacuum out the rest. After we've cleaned it out with a dustpan, I vacuum out the rest with my vacuum cleaner. All right, so those are the 12 cleaning tasks. And I'm looking at my numbered list, which is totally wrong. So it's probably more than 12. Or may I don't know. I have to go back and change this post before you see it, because the numbers are all cattywampus in here. So I don't even know how many I told you, but at least 12 cleaning chores that I do every single year at daylight savings time, because that is when I remember to do it. Next week, I am super excited because I'm having my really good friend and blogger, Christine, on the podcast from I Dream of Clean. And she actually does a lot more cleaning than I do, has put a lot more time into cleaning. And she has some great products and resources for people who like to clean their house. You know, I've told you many times, I love to organize. I'm not necessarily a cleaner. I know how to do it, but it's just not on the top of my list. I am definitely not a clean freak. I'm more of an organizational nut. And so next week, Christine and I are going to talk about how she started her blog as I Dream of Clean. She's actually moving more into the organizational realm as well, but I just cannot wait to introduce you to my really good friend. So have a great week. Do some of these big tasks this week. Don't forget to change the clocks, and I'll talk with you next week.